Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XHorseAndX. And I'm here with Mike, you can find on Twitter at ReviewAndRoast. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/ReviewAndRoast or Instagram.com/ReviewAndRoast. And for you Star Wars nerds, we also have a Star Wars Instagram at Instagram.com/StarWarsTabletop. Yes, that's right. It's all about Star Wars board games, card games, and etc., etc. Right?
Yep. And hopefully I'll be working on the Legion miniatures soon. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
It's going to be dope.
Sometime between now and Christmas.
Yep.
Sweet Christmas. Sorry. We just got done talking about Jessica Jones and all that stuff. So anywho, today we are doing a little different Comic Roast. Today we're here to talk to you about C2E2, which some would argue is the best con in Chicago, and I'm here to tell you it is the best con in Chicago.
I think it's the best con in the Midwest by far. I haven't been to the New York or San Diego one yet.
But that's my plan for the next couple of years, is to hit those. And I also want to check out Emerald City, because that's supposed to be
good things.
Pretty awesome. And the way it sells out, like, pretty much instantly, I'm intrigued, to say the least.
Lisa Transmitter! Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
But yeah, for the longest time in Chicago, I mean, C2E2 has probably been around a good 20 years. I've only been going for the last 5 years, 4 years.
Something like that.
Because we always just went to Wizard World. I don't know why. But I was like, well, I can really only afford one. If I'm going to go to one, I've been to Wizard, and I know I like it, so whatever. Right. But as Wizard quickly started to decline, you realize...
Well, they not only decline, but during the decline have raised all the prices to match the decline, it seems. You know what I mean?
So it's ridiculous.
If they're going to sell less tickets, they're like, well, screw it. We'll just charge more for them.
Yeah. What? Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous when I can get a 3-day pass for C2E2 for the same price it costs to get in the Wizard World on Saturday.
Right.
There's literally no comparison. And Wizard World at this point is so far gone, it's not even about comics and stuff anymore. It's just about pop culture in general, and they try to pack as many celebrities as they can
in. And that's totally fine if that's what you're going for, but it's, I mean, they're all like that to a degree. So, you know, we stop by plenty of stands at C2E2 that are knickknacks and trinkets that have nothing to do with shit. No. But conversely, there's a big emphasis at C2E2 on people being fans of stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Where at Wizard World, it's more of a...
free-for-all?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's...
When you find the Incredible Hulk selling gutters...
Yeah.
It's time to be like, all right, you got to rethink your inks on this one, because that's just...
Yeah, I don't know. I always... Since we've done the two for the last couple of years, I've been a bigger fan of the C2E2. I'm probably going to go to Wizard World this year, at least for a day.
C2E2 also is easily... twice as big, if not more, because it's three levels.
Yeah.
You got your main floor. And what I like the most about it is they keep it separate. Like, yeah, there's a bunch of celebrities signing autographs, but that's all the way in the back, and there's a long line that they set aside, so it doesn't get in the way of anything else. Right. Where at Wizard World, it's just, I'm Patrick Stewart, and I got a booth smack dab in the middle of the con, and now nobody can walk through.
Right.
It's just kind of their organization, at least last time I was, last couple
I wish
times
Patrick
I was
Stewart
there,
was there.
He was the last 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
I didn't see him. It's bullshit.
Yeah, he was there. I'm talking Wizard World, not C2E2. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But C2E2 just has a better organization, and they have the main floor, which is ginormous, coupled with the two floors above it for panels, which again are awesome and free, which I'm not saying that Wizard World has no panels, but they don't have as many as C2E2, and I don't know if they're free or not.
There are some free ones.
I've never actually attended a panel.
I went to one Wizard. There.
At Wizard?
Yeah. What did I go sit in on? Crap, I don't remember now. I sat in on something the 1 year. Last year? Or the year before? Yeah, I don't know. Who cares?
Doesn't matter. We didn't go last year. Or I didn't go.
Must have been the year before.
Anywho. So, you know, they always have, you know, obviously your big comic booths. You know, they have the Dark Horse, the IDW, the Image booth. Marvel, they have more of a stage with, it's kind of about the size of four booths, I guess you could say. And they put up a little stage, and they do little presentations and stuff and giveaways, and it's kind of a fun little area. DC doesn't really ever have a presence here, which I don't understand why. Like, DC has a lot of panels.
And yeah, they have tons of DC panels.
Yeah, they have a lot
and
of that.
Tons of their writers are always around town, yeah. Like, doing stuff. But DC as an entity doesn't...
they never have a booth.
They don't even promote. Like, you know, you'll see big... I mean, you see Marvel everywhere. You see Dark Horse everywhere. You see Image a lot.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, you don't see DC anyplace. But they dominated the panels.
Always.
I mean, legit dominate them. So, I don't know. But, and there's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, however you want to do it.
Right.
But see, DC to me is still like the... And I'm not saying I'm like more DC or more Marvel or whatever, but DC seems to be... They always just seem to rely on their core comic cred. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so, you know, DC was never going out of business. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like some of the other guys. The comic readers that read DC stuff always do and always will, I guess, probably. So, I don't know. That might have something to do with it as well. So, that's all I got.
Yeah, they're more about informing you of what's coming up than they are about selling their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird, but to each his own. This year there was, because they always have, Marvel always has a big area, and they always have a little stage where they kind of do stuff randomly all weekend. And then they have this other area.
I never
area.
Saw anything going on there except for that one time they were like throwing T-shirts or some shit.
Well, it's because we never go over there.
Yeah, it's actually up close by the front, and to be honest, once we get in there, I know me, I'm always deep.
And getting away from the front because you got 30,000 people trying to come in, and if you're hanging around by the front, like, it's yeah. just, it's
I mean, I walk
crowded.
By the front a lot, you know what I mean, but...
Yeah, on the way out.
Yeah. And then...
I wait until probably midday when everyone's in.
And that's the best spot to get churros.
Yeah, nice. Right. Yeah, you wait till midday, and then you go back towards the front. That's kind of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But, So they always have this other area, what they call is the block, which is another small stage where they kind of do little performances throughout the day, you know, interviews or whatnot. But this year, we've all heard of the Sci-Fi Channel, the SIFI Channel. They had their own stage off on the side. And again, off on the side, not dead nuts in the middle.
Yeah, way off on the side. Anybody that's ever been to C2E2... when you go in and you go to the right, all the way to the right, they normally reserve that area for event types, stuff like that, and then not far from there is Artist Alley. So it's sort of the side, but the Sci-Fi stage, in my opinion, ruled.
It's one of the highlights this year.
Oh, for me, it was like hands down the best part.
Hashtag it's a fan thing.
Yep,
that was their weekend hashtag. Mm-hmm. I know I used it a few times.
I did.
But literally, they had a fantastic schedule that was just nonstop.
Yeah, I mean...
It went from opening till closing all 3 days.
And honestly, they had a schedule of 15 to 30-minute blocks with various writers, entertainers, actors, comic writers... you name it, TV show producers, all kinds of stuff. And it was really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
And there was some decent star power up there.
Yeah.
I mean, we were sitting there, and, I mean, I could have hit Dave Bautista with a spitball. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Could have hit Milo Ventimiglia with a spitball. Ricky Whittle was up there from American Gods and The 100, who we'll get to that part a little later, but
well,
was
I mean,
one of the highlights of the whole con for me was that dude.
That was actually the one thing for me, because like I started putting in my calendar on my phone weeks ago, like the panels I wanted to hit, and one of them, of course, was the Dave Bautista and I forget the girl. She played the bug.
Palm something or other. Yep.
They were going to do a panel at the sci-fi thing. So I'm like, yeah, I totally want to see this, like, Guardians panel. Well, last minute, she backed out, and Sean Gunn stepped in, who he basically played what's-his-face's right-hand man.
Yondu's right-hand man.
Yeah.
Captain Gunn, teach stuff.
Right. And he was also, you know, brother of the director.
Which helps.
But, yeah, I mean, he was a super nice dude, but, like, literally, like you said, we could have fucking spit on him. We were so close. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the kind of shit that sci-fi did all weekend, whether it was Batista and Sean Gunn. I mean,
dude, R.L. Stine was right up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, R.L. Stine. I never read Goosebumps in my life. It was one of the more interesting panels of the whole weekend. That guy.
Oh, yeah, he was super awesome.
He was quite pleasant, and he was funny. And you find out when they were interviewing him, he started out as a child's comedy writer.
Mm-hmm.
He just fell ass backwards into horror, and that's where he made his name.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy was awesome. I've never read Goosebumps in my life, but, you know, maybe I will now. But, yeah, easily the best thing about the weekend, or this year, it was one of the best things, was sci-fi stage. Super impressed. Hashtag it's a fan thing. Let them know that I said it's awesome. So yep, maybe we can be on interviewed next year.
Yeah, and they had, I mean, I couldn't even go down the whole list, but the producers from that show, Super Mansion, were awesome.
Oh, I forgot about that.
With some awesome people. The Veronica Roth, who wrote the Divergent series.
Yep.
That became the movies, was up on that stage. I mean, a stone's throw away. I mean, and they had them all on there, and so many people were so much more personable than you would even imagine. So we were sitting there, and it would be like, I'm going to get up. And then somebody else would sit down, and they'd start talking. You're like, I'm going to sit here for another minute because this guy's awesome.
And it's only a 15-minute thing.
Right.
Next thing you know, you've been sitting there for 2 hours.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, you go there to see whoever, and you end up staying. Or you get there early in anticipation of seeing whoever and find out a lot of stuff that you didn't know. And now you do, which was awesome.
Oh, and I just found the whole schedule.
Really? Well, and that was one of the things, though, like...
Well, yeah, you can go to sci-fi.com, search C2E2, and you can still watch all this, because it was all streamed live on sci-fi.com, but they still have it up on the website. So if you wanted to, you know, check out some of the shit we're talking about, you know, it was quite professionally done, and, you know, you can still go watch all of the stuff on sci-fi.com.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were streaming live the whole time, as a matter of fact.
Right. And I think that's probably a good way to do it, because there was probably a couple of things where there was probably only two or three people sitting there watching. But it's also, now it's on the website. Anybody can watch it whenever they want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, for the home audience, I guess you could say. But it was pretty awesome. I could probably go on and on about it, but I won't.
Yeah.
As far as, I guess, panels are concerned, there was a couple that I did want to see that I just never actually made it to, but a couple of the ones I did want to see, and I actually haven't looked them up since, but I kind of wanted to see, they had a panel called Dungeons, Dice, and Everything Nice, which is basically an all-girls Dungeons and Dragons group, and they were just going to play Dungeons and Dragons in front of people for an hour. I was in, what panel were we in at the time? It was the American Gods panel, I think.
Yep.
And I left early to go sit into that one, and that overlapped, I think, with the Onion panel, too, which I wanted to see. So, anywho, I head over to it, and literally it was standing room only at that point. I never heard of these girls before and whatever, but, like, it was a hoot.
Yeah.
It was, people were in there, people were dying, laughing, like, they were really kind of funny, and apparently they're super popular, and I'm just an idiot. So, that was
kind of... Do they have, like, a YouTube channel or something?
I have no idea. Twitch? I keep meaning to look them up. Twitch. I just haven't. Oh, that'd be interesting if they're on Twitch.
Quite possibly.
I mean, clearly they made up a quote-unquote more of a silly storyline for, you know, the panel at C2E2. It was kind of funny, but When I left there, I was like, oh, I'm going to head over to the Onion panel now because I do want to see that. And again, standing room only. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, some of the panels that I figured nobody would go to were just packed. But then when I head over to, like, what's coming on DC, like, dude, there's, like,
30 seats everywhere. Oh, I have to ask,
though. Seats everywhere.
The Dungeons and Dice and everything nice. Was there some attractive women?
On stage?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Okay. I'm into it.
It was funny though. I keep meaning to look it up, but I've been kind of busy at work, doing
nothing,
watching cooking videos.
Start practicing. Cooking
found a new
video.
Channel. Wow. So I think that was just basically Friday, right?
Yeah. I mean, really.
Well, actually, here let's run down. Basically, we decided that we weren't going to touch Artist Alley on Friday because we were just going to wait till Saturday and then just spend the whole day in Artist Alley because that's normally what we do. And I've already, like, before we went this year, I kind of made a pact with myself because normally I go and I buy a lot of artwork and then I bring it home and then mm-hmm. it goes in my artwork pile. And then when I have some extra money, I buy a bunch of frames.
I literally still have prints from the year before. I didn't buy any prints this year. So
I got a ton of fucking prints still. So I told myself I wasn't going to buy any fucking art this year. And I don't believe that I did. So
I didn't. And I there was a couple of things that had I run into them again that I saw on Friday I wanted, but I didn't see them again, so I did not.
Yeah, I took a lot of cards. Well, it was actually, there was the one guy that had like the 8x10s, and I was going to buy those because for a while we were doing that cosplay box, mm-hmm. that level 42, which is now sadly over. But I still have room in my binders for those. So I was like, oh, I can just buy these and stick them in that binder and, you know, be done with it. You know what I mean? But I didn't. I never found them again. And tis what it is. So I basically was like, you know what? I always come to this con and I have this, like, shoulder bag. Not like a satchel. Not like a side one. It's like a backpack, but it's only got one strap that I always bring. And literally you buy fucking two comics and it's full. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make my goal for the weekend is to find a nice, like, satchel, like, side bag. Like a, not a merce per se, but, you know.
But a merce.
Yeah. Of course, I couldn't fucking find one that I liked. Because they were either, you know, kind of awesome with, like, some kind of logo that I liked, but they were super small. Or they're super fancy, made out of leather, perfect size, but they're like $1 million. You know what I mean? So I ended up not getting a bag. And I still spent way too much money this year. But I want to go. First thing I want to go over is my first purchase of. Well, it's actually my second purchase. And this was Saturday, right? No, it was Friday. It was Friday. We actually. We didn't want to stop in Artist Alley. We were just cutting through for some reason. And we happened to cut through the aisle that Matt Kent was sitting in. And for those of you who are not familiar, we did. We reviewed the number one of Department H when it came out. Last year or a year ago, 2 years ago. And, you know, he's obviously the creator. So I just wanted to stop and say, hey, I love your work. Thank you for being you kind of thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There was a short line, so I figured, fuck it, I'll wait. So as I'm waiting, Mike and his niece was with us. She did the Magicians podcast with Mike a few weeks ago. They took off. So I'm sitting there, I'm waiting, and I'm
we'll be doing the
Magicians season 3, and I'll be in on it because I'm almost done with season 2 right now.
Well, we didn't, did we talk season 2 when we did our Magicians podcast?
You and Mia did.
Oh, okay.
You all did right. Okay. Basically only season 2.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to do season 3.
You got to set me up before you leave, or I just have to go over and spend a lot of time on the couch.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
So anywho, we're going through, and nicest dude you can possibly meet.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this guy is legit cool as shit. I mean... what was the first thing I said to him when I got there?
Something about how his book sucks.
Oh yeah, because I forget you were doing something. I walk up with my niece and said something. He's like, "Oh, this has got it does Department H," and I think I just said something like, "Oh, that thing's shitty," something like that. And he's like, "Man, I feel like I'm on Twitter." And then right away, I'm like, "Damn, man." This guy's cool as shit. You know what I mean? So now I know I'm buying like a book at some point in time because now I got to get into this guy because he's like, and again, we just happened to, I mean, honestly, I swear to God, every time we were cutting, I mean, maybe it must have just been the layout, but he was in aisle M or whatever.
Right in the middle.
And it was just the perfect cut through and, yeah, it just worked out.
It was a wide aisle.
Yeah, it just worked out pretty good.
Yeah, we crossed his path quite a bit and annoyed him all 3 days.
Oh, I did buy the book. Oh, no, I didn't buy it.
You got it the second day.
The second day, because the first day...
No, you got it the third day.
He was drunk. No.
It was the second day. You're right.
No, it was the third day. It was the third day I got the book. Because he drew on it in the morning and then redid it again later.
No, but that was the second day. Maybe. I don't... No, maybe it was the third day. No,
I don't know. Who cares? The point is, the first day, though, he drew a picture in the book you purchased because...
Well, that's the best part because I was like, well, I'm super into Department H, so I would like to get into mind management because everyone tells me it's awesome. Do you have the number one? And he's like, no, I don't. I'm like, well, huh. And he's like, well, you can check the Dark Horse booth. He's like, I'm going to go try to get some more from them tomorrow morning, but...
Image booth?
No, it was Dark Horse. Mm. And I was like, okay. So I'm like, what else you got? So he pulls out his new book, which is right there, and I can't remember the name of it. It's a crime story or whatever. So I'm like, I'll fucking take it. You know what I mean? So he immediately flips it open, starts drawing, and I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to take up all your time because I can feel like someone, like a line forming. I look over, it's just Mia. I'm like, oh, she doesn't matter. And he's like, whoa. And she's like, oh, is he drawing that for you? I'm like, yep. She's like, you don't deserve that. I'm like, shh. I mean, probably not, but I'm not going to stop him. And then I feel the hot breath of fucking stupid Mike on the other side of me as he comes walking up. And he's like, is that for you? I'm like, yep. He's like, man, you don't deserve that. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So then Matt Kent looks up and he's like, oh, maybe these two are fucking right. And he holds the book up and he pulls out a lighter. And I'm like, eh. And then he lights my book on fire.
I forgot about that.
Yep. And I was like. Like, at first, I was just like, but then when he actually set the motherfucker.
He literally set a page aflame.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, what? What's going on? And then he just let it burn for about 5 seconds, and he slams the book closed. He's like, here you go. I'm like, yeah. Like, I was speechless. He's like, yeah, I do that to
like,
all
so that's
it.
$5 off, right?
Yeah, like, he must have saw the look of horror on my face, because he was like, dude, it's part of the story.
He probably saw the look of awesome on my face. So I was like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. It's not even happened to me.
Right. So he's like, yeah, it's part of the story. It'll make sense when you get there, blah, blah, blah. But
which
I'm
is
like,
actually super cool.
Right.
When you think about
but
it.
But I legit almost shit myself right there at the guy's booth. I'm like, dude, I just bought a brand new book and he fucking set it on fire. But I think it was the second day because I wanted to go. It was 10 minutes until they closed, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to lug this thing back tomorrow because I did go to the Dark Horse booth on Saturday, and they're like, yeah, we're sold out. And I was just about to motherfucking start crying and leave the booth, and this guy comes out of the back with like 2 copies of Mind Management. I'm like, dude, I'm buying this right now, and I'm like, I'm going to run back there. I got 10 minutes. So I run back, and I'm like, dude, I'm like, look what I found.
And that was when – so that was at the very end.
Of Saturday.
That is, because that's when I ran over – and brought those two books, Analog. I just brought Analog over there to Jerry Duggan, and
right
to get it signed by him at the same time. That's right. And he was actually like walking away and was super cool enough to just hang out for a second and hooked me up with a signature and gave me.
Didn't he have an interview on Sci-Fi?
Yeah, he was on.
He was the one that drew the Batman.
No, he didn't draw the Batman. No. He was on there talking about this book, Analog, and he's also a writer for Deadpool.
Right.
For, like, the longest time. So I ran over by him, and then he gave me the other one, The Dead Rabbit. That's the other book that's not even technically out yet. So
that name was outlawed when we killed your father.
Which one, The Dead Rabbit?
Gangs of New York? Nothing?
No. I got nothing.
You never seen Gangs of New York?
Yeah, I've seen it. Movie sucks.
Your fucking mom sucks.
Anyways, you can finish yours, and then we'll get into that.
Well, earlier in the day is when Mike bought Department H number one, because I went back to tell him, like, hey.
It was earlier in the day, and he drew me a picture, and actually Matt's wife took a picture of my picture because she was like, I actually really like that one. It's pretty good. So.
Did she?
Yeah, she actually did. The original.
Right.
Before I had him redo it. So then, while I'm over by Jerry, I come back over, and, like, this guy's, like, throwing an art fucking work into, like, Scott's book. And I'm like, hey, Matt, this is bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, man.
Better than mine.
Like, look at all these colors and shit you're giving them and stuff. I got black. I got, you know, a thick marker. You know what I'm saying? So... He's like, wait, what did I draw on yours? And I opened it up. He's like, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm like, I didn't say it wasn't pretty good. Just saying, I think Scott's might be better now. So, yeah, so then he finished yours, took mine, and then, like, reworked the whole thing. And now I'm wishing I had the original picture of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I should have asked her to send it to me or something, like email it to me. I didn't even think about it, really.
Yeah.
But then he redrew in mine, and it was actually, like, I mean, like, he went off on it, too. Like,
he did.
Yeah, he like, filled it out, went 2 pages and shit. Guy was going nuts. But, yeah, he was super cool.
And that's when we was like, Jesus Christ, man. I'm like, you give me 3 hours and I couldn't do that. And you just did it in 30 seconds. He's like, well, I mean, I've had 45 years of practice.
Yeah, right.
And she's like, but you're only 44. But seriously, the nicest dude. That was the highlight of my con.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's super honestly, awesome. He was, like I said, he was one of those ones that snuck in there where, like, didn't think I was going to, like, love the dude. You know what I mean? He was just a super cool guy. I mean, most of the people are, I mean, to be honest.
Yeah.
But not pretentious or nothing. I mean, and let's face it, the guy's not a world-renowned star or nothing. But to be honest, in the comic book biz, I mean, the guy's doing pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got major titles out on a major label. That's impressive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's been a while. He's been running that Department H for a while now.
Yeah. Well, seems like I said, good. Before that was mind management, and that thing ran forever.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can what I bought was Department H. So yep. We'll read that. I'll read the trade, and then maybe we'll do a podcast on the trade. I know you guys did the number one, but I never got into that.
It doesn't matter. If you finish the trade, just tell me where it stops, and then I won't go past it when I talk.
Right. Well, I mean, we'll see. How many books are there? Or it's is like it
26 or 27.
But it's still going, right?
I think so, yeah.
Hmm. We'll figure something out for that.
I don't know. I'm a couple issues behind on my reading, but
yeah, I don't even know. But I did read that book Analog and Dead Rabbit from Jerry Duggan, and they're both pretty good, and we're going to do a podcast on those very soon. So.
And also, I mean,
and that guy was actually honestly super duper cool too. And he ain't nobody either. Like he's got a pretty good gig in the writing world.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, and he was way cooler than I thought he was going to be too, because when I walked up to him to get that one book signed, right when I walked up, he had this look on his face like, if you pull out a fucking stack of books, I'm going to punch you right in the face. You know what I mean? So I'm like, "Oh man, you leaving?" He's like, "What do you got?" And I'm like, oh, just this one, man. I ran over there and picked it up, like, right at the end. You know, I saw you on the panel earlier, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. And then he asked me if I had Dead Rabbit, and I'm like, no, that would be superb. And he just, like, handed it to me. I don't know if people were paying for it before or something, but he literally just handed me this book, which was also super cool. I mean, maybe everybody got the same deal, but the next day, I went back over there just to tell him that he's awesome, and I spent a good 5-6 minutes talking to the guy, and he was cool as hell. And he was really never at his booth because he was always doing panels.
Yeah.
Because he was also back up on stage for that trivia thing.
Yeah.
Remember when they were doing that geeking out or some shit when they brought out the Ewok thing?
Wait, what?
Were you? Oh,
maybe, I must not have been there
when
for
they
that.
Did like the 80s. The one guy was there, and they brought out the.
Was this Saturday or Sunday?
I don't know. They sort of that sci-fi stage sort of blended in. Yeah. So, but yeah, he was actually honestly super cool guy, and I'm glad that his book was awesome because I didn't want to hate it.
Well, really so quick.
Hopefully, Department H is good.
A little quick disclaimer for anybody who might be listening to this in the car: you might want to pull over before I say this next thing because I don't want you to get too excited and crash the car. But, you know, as always, we stopped at our buddy Dan Doherty's booth, and mm-hmm. Touching Evil, the second trade, will be out soon. And I finally bought my own copy of the first one. And I'm not saying, like Dan, he's a great guy. He's always been super nice to us. He's been on the podcast a couple of times. And he signed it, but, I mean, he didn't draw a picture.
You know yeah, I mean? You know what?
Matt Kent drew pictures in everything I bought. Dan just signed it and said,
yeah,
here you go.
He could have literally did a little Beardo dude on it.
I know. Like, I feel like I got ripped off.
Yeah, you know what? I'm over that, dude.
But, yeah, we're actually.
I hope you're listening, Dan.
I don't know if we've done. I'm going to have to go back and look at
Touching Evil.
The previous. I don't know if we've did a podcast on the trade. I know.
No, we did not do it on the trade at all, period.
Did we do?
I don't even know if we did the number one.
Did we write a review, though? I feel like we all read it, because I know I read it.
I don't know.
Well, whatever. We're definitely going to do the first trade.
He's going to have three trades all together, so we're going to do trade, trade, trade.
Yes. And he'll actually, he's going to be coming on here in a few weeks.
Isn't the second trade going on the Kickstarter?
It's that or Indiegogo or one of those sites.
He's got something coming up. Dan's got something up on Kickstarter soon.
He'll be on to talk about
it. And we're going to have him before that and stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll have all this shit dialed in.
So, yeah, if you're not familiar, just you can search Dan Doherty. You can search Beardo, or you can probably just
Beardo
find,
Comics, I think, is
his Instagram. Yep. But Touching Evil, it's a great series.
It's fantastic.
And the hardcover is just
you
really
know, it's
well
one
made.
Of those things that's actually super original. And when you read all the comics, especially like in order, it's very, man, it's very adaptable to be Starz's next TV show. You know what I mean? Or a Netflix series or something. Like it's
as long as I'm on
super
it.
Adaptable to that. And hopefully he makes sure that we're on that when he sells that. So that'd be super. Maybe we can be
I just want to
we'll do something. Even if I get killed off in the first episode, that'd be dope.
Yeah, I don't have to be the star of the show. I just want a recurring role. That's all.
I don't need a recurring. I want to like die in a horrible
you
fashion.
You can die in every third episode.
Yeah.
Like you wear like a fake mustache.
Yeah.
Or a top hat.
God, that's actually a fantastic idea. I'll just be an extra, the extra guy that gets killed in every single episode. That would be actually, that's a pretty good idea.
That'd be funny.
Should write that down.
It's a vault up here.
Yeah, it is.
So what are we talking about?
C2E2, 2018.
Yeah, I mean, as far as everything else goes I'm kind of looking at my pile now, and the only other things I really purchased, besides a couple of mugs, I was at the Image booth on Sunday, and...
Oh, that's where you blew your load.
Pretty much, because, like, I'm so far behind on Sex Criminals and Saga, but I realized, because Sex Criminals put out amazing looking hardcovers that have, like, the first one is the first two trades, the second one is the second two trades. Unfortunately, I already have the first two trades and I fucking read them. Not that I'm not going to get the first hardcover, but I figure for now I'll get the second hardcover. That way it covers me on 3 and 4. And then I bought the first Saga hardcover, the big like $50 or $60 beast that has like the first 3 or 4 trades in it. Because I only have the first trade. And that's all I've ever read. So this way I can either sell the first one, I can give it to you, doesn't matter, but now I've got the big fat hardcover, so that's kind of where I blew most of my money on Sunday. I got a free t-shirt out. Well, you got a free t-shirt out of the deal.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. When you're doing Comic-Cons, like, you know a good majority of your fans are going to be fucking thickums. Let's throw a little 2X in there sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
The biggest thing for me, I guess, I don't know, extra large is fit. But then when you wash them, they shrink and then they don't fit. Or they're still fine one way, but not fine the other way. Like, they're either too long and skinny, or they're too big and then, like, my fucking, they're like a half shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's because I'm kind of like, I'm not like fucking King Kong fucking Bundy fat, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of tall and I'm kind of fat. So, like, it's, you need, I don't know, whatever. This is getting way weird.
Yeah.
C2E2.
So we also went to the, me and my niece wanted to get her autograph.
You wanted her autograph?
She wanted to get Ricky Whittle's autograph. So this is the guy that's on this show. He was on 4 seasons of The 100, and he's on the current show called American Gods on Starz, which is actually a show that I quite enjoy, and we're hoping to get you onto it so we can do a podcast on that as well. Because I think it's something you might be into. And even if you're not, it would be a good podcast point. So that would be fine. And then, so we go there. And how cool was that dude?
Unbelievable.
Like, straight up. Well, from...
Well, I don't watch the show, so I didn't want to, like,
you didn't see him on
say,
stage, right?
I did.
When they
no,
were,
no, that and I didn't. That went the next day.
Yeah.
I didn't want to watch it because I'd never seen the show, and I didn't want it to get ruined.
Right, and they really didn't say anything about the show, but they came out right away, and First of all, I didn't know the guy was British, so his accent rules. Second of all,
Mike was a little turned on.
A little more than a little, homie. I mean, my man is actually super good looking in real life. Like, man, on the show, and
you
I
think
only
this
know
was an accident?
Yeah, seriously. Like on the show, I don't know him from the 100. I only know him from American Gods, and the character itself is sort of, you know, like a brooding introvert or whatever. And he is not that in real life. He's a fucking screwball. Like, and I mean that in the best possible way that you can be. Like, just, I mean, as soon as he came out, he started out like joking around, you know, and girls were honestly like losing their shit. And he did something, and it was, you know, and the guy's like, I mean, you know, athlete ripped. And he like made a quick joke about his trainer because like some girl like said something about his muscles or something. It was just a whole big thing. And he had his co-star Yatita, and I'm probably going to mispronounce her last name, Badaki. Actually, I think that's correct.
Say it fast enough.
Yatita Badaki. And she's also from the show. And the two of them did the sci-fi stage. Then the following day, they did the
panel,
the American Gods panel, which we went to.
I did go to.
Yeah, you stepped out of that one, though, didn't
you? As soon as they started the crowd questions.
Oh, so you didn't see him do his acting thing?
I don't think so.
He was, he imitated, well, he basically did it like a stage play of him being told how to act in front of a green screen, like to pretend that there's a rhino coming up around a giant tree. It was, honest to God, it could have been a comedy. It could have been in a comedy show. It was funnier than a lot of comedians doing stuff I've ever seen.
I feel
seen.
Like he'd be good in like an improv group.
Oh, he would be. Well, just based on this one little part that he did would have been amazing. He'd be like, oh, man, like. So he's pretending he's him standing out there, but he's also doing the mouth of the director. Like, oh, you come up on a tree. It's really big. Not that big. You know what I mean? And then he's like, oh, man, here comes the buffalo. Oh, you kneel down to look at him. Oh, no, no, he's a little taller than that. It was just, he like did it like blow by blow. And it, I mean, I'm telling you, man, you would have known him. I mean, like legit people were dying, cracking up. I mean, it was the funniest thing that I've seen in real life in a long time. I mean, it was so good. And again, it's just super cool that the guy is such a cool guy. Like, it's one of those things where you, it's just, it makes you just feel so much better when a dude is super cool. You know what I mean? Because I honestly really, 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 really like that show to begin with. And it's a pretty odd show, to be honest. So it's kind of niche. I've never read the books, which everybody has. And supposedly everybody thinks they're awesome. And supposedly everybody that's read the books still really love the show. So that says something. You know what I mean? So,
well, being on Stars, I assume you can stick to books more closely than you could, say, if it was NBC.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's because Yatita plays the character Bilquist, who is very, very horrifyingly dirty. And that's about all. I'll leave it at that. And we'll get to that later. Who I actually got to... I actually went and did her autograph and thing on Sunday and got to hang out with her for a couple of minutes and chat her up. And she was amazingly cool as well. So they are filming the second season, which is huge too. So
I don't want it to sound whatever. Like, it's not like we're, you know, oh my God, I can't believe he was such the nicest dude. Like, if you've never heard the expression, they always say, like, don't meet your heroes because you're probably going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. Case in point, on Sunday, not trying to, like, bash the guy or nothing, but I might a little bit. My nephews are, you know, they like to watch Impractical Jokers. And James Murray was there on Sunday, along with Joe, actually. And in order to meet James Murray, you had to get a bracelet at his publisher's booth and then get in line. We walked in the door and went straight over there. I took them right to the booth. We got our bracelets or whatever. The line was astronomical. They waited in line for 2 hours, and then he wouldn't let them take a picture.
Really?
Like, you got a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old who are like, you know what I mean? Like,
there's no picture option?
No, there was. He just didn't have time anymore. So, like, dude, what did you think was going to happen?
Well, that's pimpy, then.
At a Comic-Con. Like, yeah, you're sitting there.
People were taking pictures.
You're taking pictures with all these people, and then you got these two kids who waited in line for 2 fucking hours to meet you, and then it's like, you shake their hand, you give them an autograph, but you can't take a second to take a photo?
Yeah, and I don't think they were doing anything else.
No. I mean, I understand, like, you know, you got prior obligations, I guess, but, like, dude.
Well, it's like when, you know, when we're at the sci-fi stage, you need to plan a little better. And you got some of those guys coming out, they might be going to the panel. You know what I mean? So, like, but there's no way, I don't know. Somebody should have known how long it takes to get people through a line.
Yeah, don't give that many. Don't give that many.
Yeah, but that's what they do. They should know. See, and not for nothing, and I don't want to downplay Yatita and Ricky, but their line was never as long as those other people.
Which is so weird.
They were also there all 3 days.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, American Gods isn't Game of Thrones. I mean, honestly, I actually think it's currently as good. Honestly, I think it's a new, interesting thing. It's actually one of my favorite shows on TV right now. But the point being, they're not so extremely. But who's Impractical Joker guy? Who the fuck do you think you are? You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, I understand. I mean,
yeah, you're way more famous than I am, obviously.
I guess he was pretty apologetic about it, but, like, I don't know.
All that time you wasted apologizing, just snapped a fucking picture.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or, not to be a dick, but, like, I guess my brother-in-law could have just had his phone out and videoed the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, and not to be a dick, though, Ricky Whittle, I never even saw the guy sit in his fucking chair. He was standing in front of his booth the whole fucking time.
Right, yeah.
Everyone that came up was in the Whittle hug zone. You know what I'm saying? Like,
including me, and I didn't even, like.
Well, when me and you went up there, we were just basically chaperoning my niece, and I mean, this guy was like, he was handsy. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I think, and that was cool. Like,
squeezed my butt.
The guy was, he was firm.
He smelled delicious.
He did smell fantastic.
Super cool guy.
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like, especially if you're going to go the bitch route, not trying to be a dick, but if you're going to go the bitch route where you're going to limit your line to this is it.
Yeah,
this many people.
Everyone should get what they fucking
what they waited for.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I agree. And that was a completely free thing?
Yeah. I mean, they had to buy, like, the something for him to sign if they wanted an autograph, but meeting him was 100% free.
That's cool.
And then, of course, you know, they didn't want to wait in Joe's line because by the time they got out of James Murray's line, Joe's line was fucking 3 hours long. Mm-hmm. You know, so I walked around the con with them. We found some neat kid board games that I actually can't wait to play myself. And that was about it for Sunday. Like, I felt like it was a little disappointing for them, but I mean, my nephews didn't care that much. You know what I mean? But, like, my sister was a little like, Jesus Christ, that's bullshit. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I agree, Lou.
No, it totally is.
But I mean, they seem to have a good time. It was their first major con. And I'm glad that their dad got stuck with them and not me. No offense. But,
yeah,
you know, they wanted, the kid in all of us wants to go and get the mystery box just to see what's in it.
You know, I was supposed to never got those mystery comics. Remember the $10 box?
I talked myself out of it by the second day because it's like,
yeah,
I know what's in there, dude. It's a bunch of number twos and a bunch of number 30s.
You're lucky if you get number twos. It's number nines. Nines and 11s.
But, other than that, I guess, like, the only other super cool thing for me was on Saturday, I got to hang out with my buddy Mark, who I haven't seen in probably 20 fucking years, was actually pretty awesome. You know, we fucking hung out for, at least a good hour or two, bullshitting. And when you were playing Learn How to Play Legion, we were just playing a little catch-up, man.
Honestly, they had that board game sub, while we're there right now.
Which was better.
They had a nice big board game area set up where you could legit just go there and, like, basically check out any board game you wanted that they had as a demo and just go play it, and that was cool.
Yeah, they had shelves.
But then games. Fantasy Flight also had guys basically teaching X-Wing and Legion demos, which was, I was I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit down a minute. I mean, I think I got the gist of Legion, but I've never actually played it yet. So sat down. Dude was super cool. There was a kind of annoying kid there. But other than that.
We just lost a fan because that kid's listening.
He's, well, yeah, he probably is. He thinks he knows everything. So why wouldn't he be critiquing my shit? You know what I mean? But, no, it was pretty funny, though, because the guy would run through, like, six rules. The kid would be like, yeah, it's my turn to roll the dice. And then he'd run around the other side and be like, I have three questions. What's this? What's that? What's the other thing? I'm like, yeah, he just said those things. And then the guy had to explain them again to make me not look like an asshole, but whatever. Because it was to the point where I was going to, like, hey, Pops, come get, grab your kid, whoever this kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, really? You're just going to dump the guy off at the board game stand? He's, like, grabbing miniatures and shit, and the dude's like, hey, woo, woo. Like, let's not snap the heads off stormtroopers here.
Right.
So, anyways, Mark, go.
Oh, I mean,
yeah, that was it.
Just kind of awesome to talk to him.
And actually, my buddy Juan was there on Saturday with his kids. They were running around. I never even saw the dude.
Yeah, we ran into him last year. I remember we spent some time over by the cosplay with him.
Yeah, and that's what they did this year. I think his daughter was actually dressed up and was doing something. But yeah, he ended up staying for the cosplay competition, and he said it was dope. So
one of these. We didn't do any of the after-hour shit that we
You know, the problem is, though, we're like, not like we're out there working, but we're trying to, like, I'm trying to maximize, you know, coverage. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Friday, we were legit, like,
main floor
on missions. You know what I mean? Like, up and down the aisles. What's going on here? Cool. Let's hit that stage to see this, that, and the other thing.
The problem is we didn't know
by the time it's, what was going on. By the time the day's later, you're like, ugh, I just want to go to bed. You know what I mean? And then the next morning, I'm gladly
would have just, like, got in a car, go down the street, get something to fucking eat, hang out, and then fucking be like, all right, let's go here to this after-hour
thing. Right, and we missed, and that's a whole other thing, and next year we will not miss it. Dan's karaoke party.
We also missed Henry Rollins' stand-up.
I'm pretty pissed about that, too, because I just saw his face on... He was on the movie Jackass. It was on this morning when they did a off-road tattoo. He was the Hummer driver while they were giving Steve-O a tattoo in the back, and it was actually hilarious because Henry Rollins does rule, and he's always yelling, which is also hilarious.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. Anyways, what else we got? I think we're getting to the end of the materials.
I think we covered most of it. I mean... what was the highlight for you?
Honestly, I think right in the first day, the Ricky Whittle thing, I think, I mean, legit, that couldn't have made Mia's week any, you know what
I mean? She was shaking in line.
I mean, legit, I can't even believe she didn't pass out.
We should have had her come on and talk
about it. And again, yeah, I know, right? The guy is so cool, and what I mean... It's unbelievable. I mean, and the funny part is on Sunday, again, I was actually, I went and saw Yatita and he was over there and I was going to say something to him, but he was so busy, like legit hugging every dude and chick and person that even got in his area that I didn't even want to be that dude, you know, to be annoying like that. But, I mean, the guy was nonstop just taking care of people. You know what I mean? It was just, I don't know. It's nice to see that a guy cares so much about, and I think it's just because he's just a genuinely nice dude.
Honestly, you know what I mean? You know, who knows? Maybe as he, you know, gets to be bigger and bigger in Hollywood, maybe he'll turn into an ass, but he's really only done the two things, right?
I think he's got some other acting credits, but I mean, really, I mean, he did four seasons on a pretty decently popular show.
Right. And then, when it comes
American Gods is going to be.
Correct me when I'm wrong, something. Or if I'm wrong, but didn't he say with American Gods that, like, he didn't find out until after the fact, but it was between him and, like, 200 other guys?
Well, yeah, they had that many, but it was him and a handful of dudes, but yeah, he almost didn't get it from what he was saying. But, I mean, see, what Starz needs to do now is release that to Netflix. I don't know how the premium networks do it, because the shows end up on Netflix eventually. But once that hits Netflix, people are gonna like it. I mean, people are gonna love it.
Is it gonna hit Netflix
eventually? It has to.
You think so?
They
Starz has their own app. You know what I mean?
Like, no, I know they do for sure. But I think if they were smart, right before season 2 came out, they would release that on Netflix. Honestly. That's That's my opinion. So that might not be for another 8 or 9 months, I guess.
I don't think they will because they want people to subscribe to them.
Well, you're going to have to if you want to see season two.
No, not if they put it on Netflix when it's over.
Well, in another 2 years. You know what I mean? That's
how I watch everything at this point.
No, I know.
You know, if everything that I watch on Netflix never made it to Netflix, I would have no choice but to fucking start subscribing to some shit.
Well, Netflix makes so much stuff themselves now that you can.
Oh, yeah.
But if you want to watch some of this cool stuff, that's what you got to do.
Right.
I don't want to wait 2 years to watch season two. It already seems like it's been that long. So, yeah, that's honestly my highlight. Again, Matt Kent was super awesome. And that Jerry Duggan. I swear I'm saying his name wrong. But he was. Yeah, Dugan or Duggan. Dugan?
Maybe he should come on and tell us.
Yep. We'll try. I'm gonna pester him. Once we do this, well, we're going to do a podcast review on these two books individually.
Hope they're good.
I think you'll like them.
I think I will. I wanted to actually get my own, but
the analog one was actually, I mean,
as soon as he mentioned it, it sounded like an awesome premise. Really
good. Yeah, and actually reading it was actually pretty good. And that's, like I said, when I went back and spent a little time talking to him, we actually talked about the story.
Oui.
And I don't know if he was making sure I fucking read it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he hit me with a couple, like, oh, what'd you think about that? And obviously, I did read it. I wasn't just bullshitting the guy. You know what I mean? So I knew what he was.
It was very good.
Yeah. Oh, what'd you think of that part? Ooh. I couldn't believe it. But no, there actually is. The analog actually has. There's some pretty interesting things in it. Actually, both of them are actually extremely interesting. So, and I think he did the art as well on analog. I don't know, but we'll talk about that more when we talk about that more. Right. So,
any regrets?
Yeah, you know, here's my biggest complaint about all Comic-Cons. The outlandish.
I didn't say complaints, I said regrets.
Yeah. Then I had to go with you.
Okay.
All right, what else? What do you got?
No, now you can complain. Go ahead.
Okay, my biggest complaint is the outlandish prices on 90% of the things there. It's just utterly ridiculous. I just I legitimately can't believe it half the time. It's silly how – and then, man, I do have a regret because – I was going to buy a wall banner, and I never found a booth again, and it was Sunday, and we were running out of time. I was pissed. Cause
next time, you got to bring a little notebook and write down the booth number.
Seriously, that's actually probably not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because I spent forever just looking for my Han Solo t-shirt, and we walked past that place like 17 effing times, and then I'm like, it's Sunday, and I'm like, I got to get this thing. I spent 30 minutes looking for it. And while I was looking for that, I think I walked past the banner place, but then I think I got turned around, and then I thought the banner place was somewhere that it wasn't. And I was pretty pissed because they had, like, basically two wall banners for $35, which I think is a pretty good deal. Like, the big ones with the bar on top and bottom.
You know, and here's the funny part, too, because on Saturday, when we met up with Mark, he was like, yeah, is anyone around here selling, like, those old-timey, like, looking maps? I want to get one. I'm like, yeah, that's – I'm not sure the booth, but it's over there. And then he took off looking for him, and then like 3 minutes later, we split, and I'm like, well, I'll go help him find this booth. And I walked right to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there was a couple of things that people were like, man, where can I find this? I'm like, dude, that's right over there, or that's right there. But when you're asking about your banner and your fucking shirt, I'm like, I don't know.
And you were with me when we walked by it 9 fucking times.
Right.
What are you going to do? You know?
Because you know what it is? There was one guy that sold maps. There were 37 right. guys that sold shirts.
There was a bunch of banners going on. Now, I'm not complaining about the t-shirt prices. Those are fine. I'm not complaining about all. Well, I mean, 2 for $30, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I guess.
It's not that bad. You know,
yeah.
$20 t-shirt, you ain't getting this t-shirt at Target, so.
Right. No, I know.
You know.
But they're also not the best quality in some of the booths. Like the one shirt I wanted so bad. It was like a Game of Thrones-ish shirt, but it had Black Panther on it. Yeah. And I was like, that's badass. But then I went to go buy it, and I was like kind of feeling the shirt, and it's got that like really thin, almost silky feel.
Yeah,
I don't like those. Dude, you know this thing is going to like fall apart in a week, so
yeah,
no thanks.
You wash it 6 times, and it starts wearing out. Yeah, and there was that other booth, the bag and 3 t-shirts, which I never found again.
Yep.
From the first day we were there, I should have just, you know, it's like I'm firm about not throwing the hammer down on my first pass, but I feel like
notebook.
It's got a notebook. I'm carrying the around a
pocket protector and everything.
Yeah, I'm literally carrying around a purse the whole time. I might as well. You know what I mean? Shit. There's just so many things that I'm like, oh, I can't remember, or yeah. I forget, or I stop by and I'm like, I need, because there was a couple board games that were newish that I really wanted to spend 10 minutes doing, but then I'd walk by them again, but I'm on a mission to get something else. So Sunday I was like legit, like just like a
ping ponging,
yeah, all over the place. So, but a lot of the toys, games, and not so much like the Artist Alley art, but the art outside of Artist Alley is normally redonkulously overpriced. So in the Artist Alley, normally you can get prints from somebody 2 for $10, 2 for $15, 2 for $20, something like that, depending on the size. Right.
Ew.
So, but outside of Artist Alley, it's, you know, the guy's selling like a regular standard 12 by 24 playmat for $60.
Yeah.
You're out of your fucking mind. The other guy's selling, you know, laser etched wood things that you probably can make for 15 cents for $60. Like, you're out of your goddamn mind. There's some 3D printed things for $40 a piece. And you're like, what? Like, come on, man. Like,
if I buy three of these, I can just buy my own printer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, man, do you want to, like, I just don't understand why they wouldn't just want to sell more of them.
Yeah, well, and that's always my complaint, and I don't want to say complaint, but like with people on like Patreon, it's like, would you rather have two people subscribe to your $50 a month, or would you right. rather give away the same stuff and have 200 people subscribe for $10?
Right.
Or, you know what I mean?
Or 1,000 people for $2. I mean,
but shit. Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing that does drive me nuts about, the, you know, I even complained about it when I was at the image booth. I'm like, dude, why is this shit full price?
Yeah, right.
If I want to get full price, I'll just go to my local store because I get 10% off there.
Right, yeah.
And I want to support them.
Same with, like, board games. Like, I just went over to the Gaming Goat yesterday, or a couple of days ago now after Comic-Con, because I wanted, they had those, what's the other Fantasy Flight? Rune Wars?
Sure.
Whatever it is. That's a grass field playmat, so I had him order me some. Now, I probably could have bought him at C2E2 again for full price.
Right.
But, like, yeah, why? The only reason to buy a comic is if the dude's there to get it signed. Otherwise,
right.
I mean, and half the people bring their comics in, which is the silliest thing I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen when they were waiting in line to see Jerry Dugan, people had stacks of books in their hands. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I could never even do that to a person.
Well, when I was talking to Matt on Friday, he was telling me that, you know, he's had people drop off a fucking lawn box on Friday and be like, I'll pick it up on Sunday.
Yeah. Get out of here, dude.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
I mean, and I'm not saying that. I mean, God bless him for being cool. But, man, it's got to get to a point where it's like, man, come on, man. Like, I could never do that to a person. Now, if Matt was stopping by or something, and I happen to have 15 books on the table already out of the package, and
if he was stopping
he had a
by.
Marker, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah, sign these, motherfucker. But otherwise, yeah, I'm not going to carry him around, plop him on the desk, and be like, yeah, fix that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They don't have no signatures on them.
Right.
So
fix that shit. These are all broken.
I mean, I wouldn't even do that to Doherty. You know what I mean? Who we actually right. talk to and joke around with a lot. On a personal level, let alone just some writer that I supposedly am a big fan of, but probably don't know quite well. I'm not just going to go dropping stuff on his lap. Like, yeah. What's up with that? I don't know.
It's called hashtag dick moves.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know. I wouldn't do it. But anyways, so yeah, I will give C2E2.
Are we rating it?
A 9.2. No, I don't know.
I thought about it, but I mean... It's just awesome. I don't know what else.
No, say. It was really good. Like I said, the and if the only thing I can complain about and is the prices of what the vendors sell shit for. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, honestly, it's cheap regardless. Parking's a little expensive at McCormick Place. Big Whip. Food's a little expensive. obviously.
Yeah, that's going
to
happen.
So, and to be honest, it wasn't outrageous. I mean, the pizza and like churros and stuff like that weren't outrageous. It's the 450 can of pop that really is what aggravates me. You know, I don't mind paying $5 for a slice of pizza because that's actually a good deal. It's the $4.50 for a regular size bottle of Sprite.
Well, you know what? Though, I mean, it's Connie's. It's not that great. I feel like, but yeah, it's not the worst. Well, the worst was I think it was Saturday when we were looking up to get food and we're like, oh, let's go get some hot dogs. But the line was ridiculous, and then we kind of split off, and then you're like texting me if I want pizza, but I went over to the little convenience store. I got a turkey sandwich, a small bag of chips, and a bottle of fucking vitamin
water. Me and Juan ate at that convenience store last time.
It's like $18.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
No, I think I got like a Clif Bar and like some bullshit, and I remember spending like $16 or $17 for like a bottle of water and some bologna.
I mean, I popped in there last year too, but I mean,
I did bring granola bars this year, which actually helped out because you know, what you forget is we're getting to this place at 10 o'clock in the morning. We're leaving at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
that's a day.
Yeah,
like that's too. You know, now I gotta eat lunch and dinner. That's a little one for some of you people to think about. So, anyways.
Oh, jeez. All right, yeah. So, little inside jokes there. Yep. I'm out, done. Man.
I'm out.
Yeah, like, cashed. We ran, man. Rambled a lot there, but it was worth it. Yeah, C2E2. How many minutes we got there? 63.
Damn.
So, anywho. For those of you in Chicago, if you've never gone, what the fuck are you doing? And for those of you that still have, you know, you forget about the middle bits and you just do the two coasts, I think it's time to come to Chicago because it's not the town to be forgotten that everyone thinks it is. The coasts ain't so great. You know what I mean?
I mean, they're all right.
Well, okay. I mean, New York and the whole East, they get 47 inches of snow every other day in the winter. Then they get hurricanes all summer.
Yep.
And the other one's always on fire. Go fuck yourself.
Or earthquakes.
And earthquakes. You know what I mean? Like, we got nothing.
It's cold.
Yeah, I mean, it's April and it's still 40 outside, but, you know, hey.
It snowed on Monday, and then it was 70 degrees on Friday, and that's for real.
Yep. That happens. Mm-hmm. It's pretty sweet. Anywho, you can find me on the Twittens at XorsonX. You can find Mike at Review and Roast. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. And you can find us on Instagram at instagram.com/reviewandroast. And check all of our podcasts at comicroast.com. All of our written stuff at reviewandroast.com. That is a wrap. And I got nothing to rhyme with that. Ooh, that rhymed.